preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Presence, more of your glory, more of your power, Lord, especially in these days of evil, as it grows, as it gets darker and darker in the world, we pray that your glory will shine upon us and continue to grow upon us, Lord, upon your people who will cling to you, who will cling to your word, to your truth. Lord, we know, God, the other side of that coin, many are going to depart from the faith. Many are going to fall away. It's already happening. Lord, we pray for your grace and your strength to stand in these dark times. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We'll welcome everyone here, Fire and Grace Church, this morning. And good to see some faces we haven't seen in a while. All right. Good to have all of you here and those watching and listening all over. Man, it's pretty cool. I've been getting testimonies from Australia and where was the one? Rio, Brazil. Yeah, I know. That's pretty awesome. It's amazing. I was telling somebody that was talking to a brother out in, where was he? Is he in Washington? Yeah, Washington State. Not far around where he said about, I don't know, what did he say, about 100 miles north of Seattle, somewhere in that area, but has come back to the Lord, you know, over the, I don't know, the last few months listening or whatever. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, it's just powerful when you think about that back in the 80s and even in the 90s, for a church to reach people all over the world and all over the United States, so you had to pay hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions, in for TV time. And now we just can do it. All right, that's pretty cool. But let's get into the Word this morning. I do have something I want to share with you. I have entitled the message today, Departing from the Faith. This is a passage that's taken from 1 Timothy, and we're going to go there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because there's just been a lot of crazy things in the news, and I'm not even talking about the the shootings and all the political nonsense that's going on. Well, let's just go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, because in the midst of all that, there's probably a few articles that you didn't see that kind of slipped by people. But get those pictures ready, if you will, because we're just going to we'll put those up in a second. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's just read verses 1 and 2 here. This is a direct warning the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul about the last days, the latter times that we're living in. This is what he said. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now we can continue. We'll read on then. He says, forbidding to marry. You see that in Roman Catholicism. You see that in different cults like Buddhism and Hinduism. They have monks that were forbidden to marry, have to stay away from marriage. So he said, you have forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, the push for vegetarianism, there it is, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And then he tells, Paul tells this young pastor, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. Therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. So let's go back to verses 1 and 2 real quick and read those again. There's so much that I could go through in this right here, but I really want to focus on the Spirit said that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now let's put up that first article that came out this week or last week. Maybe it was last week. I don't know, the week before. But this is interesting right here. This is from onenewsnow.com. Preacher of Purity hangs it up, says, I am not a Christian. This is a guy that wrote the book many years ago during the 90s. It was a very, very popular book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And took a strong stand for sexual purity before marriage and, of course, within marriage. And, I mean, this guy was well-known. This guy became the pastor of a megachurch from that success. I think he wrote the book when he was 19 or something or 20. It's ridiculous how young he was. But putting forth, you know, the principles of Scripture about sexual purity and sexual sin. I say, we don't want to talk about that, right? Because we live in a society now that's pretty much anything goes, right? But this guy said that he was done with Christianity. This guy's been a Christian for 20-something years, and he says he's done. Now, I want to read, I didn't send this to them, but I want to read a little bit of what he said here. And here it is right here. This is what he said. And says, in 1997, a young Joshua Harris tried to figure out a better way to date. He laid it out in his book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which sold millions of copies and influenced an entire generation of high school kids to go courting a more intentional form of relationship that has marriage as its end goal and is strongly supervised by parents and a youth pastor. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No. You know why? Because that's biblical. But see, the world hates the Bible. The world, and you know what's sad? Most of the what is we call the church world hates the Bible. All right. That's just the way it is. We don't like God's rules. We want to do our own thing. And that's the very definition of sin. Sin is when we know God has a rule, a standard, a direction that he's given us for our good. And we say, no, thanks. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to go against you. That is the very definition of what sin is. And let me just tell you that God's standards and God's word that was inspired by his Holy Spirit to his prophets and apostles, it didn't change according to the way the culture changes. All right? We think, well, everybody's doing it, so it's okay. No, God didn't change his mind. God didn't change his mind, as I'm going to talk about a little bit this morning. God didn't change his mind about sex before marriage. He calls it fornication and says, if you practice that, you do not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't go to heaven when you die. You go to hell unless you repent of the sin. But see, our society, it's all on TV, movies. It's like, oh, that's just what you do when you start dating or get engaged or whatever. That's how you live. God says it's a sin. We say, culture says, no big deal. But we are going to be held accountable. God hasn't changed his mind about homosexuality. You understand that? I know that half the world now, or most of the world, and most of even Christianity that's out there, these dead churches, are saying, oh, it's okay. In fact, let's put that other one up. This is the Methodist Church. Here, I'm going to read. I'll keep reading his article here in a minute. But the Methodist Church, just this, the Alabama Bible Belt Methodist, right here, Newsweek magazine, almost 550 Alabama Methodists signed an apology letter to the LGBT community. Apologizing for what? For saying that homosexuality is still considered by God a sin? What's next? See, what you guys don't understand is once we head down this slippery slope, and it's already headed that way, once we head down the slippery slope, well, the culture has changed, and what the culture says is what's right and wrong, is that's what's right and wrong instead of what God says. Well, then here's what you have, and I'm telling you, it's already being put out there. I saw a TED Talk on it, making pedophilia out to be okay. I'll say, Pastor Dean, oh, we'd never say that was okay. No. Back 50 years ago, they would have never said homosexuality was okay. Did you know that up until 1970, this is a historical fact, that up until 1970, in the, the group of psychiatrists, the American Psychiatric Association, that's it. The American Psychiatric Association, not Christians, mind you, not a Christian organization, not a Christian church, said that homosexuality was a mental disorder up until 1970 because it was so against nature. It's so against what we know, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Or Eve and, Julie. But then because of pressure, because of political and social and activism, the American Psychiatric Association removed that. But why did they think it was a mental illness? Why did they think it was a mental disorder? Because you know what Romans 1 says about homosexuality? He calls it, in the Bible, calls it unnatural affection. And then the Bible in Romans 1 says it's going against nature itself. But, hey, the Alabama Methodists say it's all right now. We're sorry. We're sorry that we once told you it was a sin. So what's next? They're going to throw the sin of rape out the window? No, there was a TED Talk recently. A woman trying to tell everyone why they should feel sorry for men who want to have sex with children. And there was an Oxford professor that also came out. Now, let me ask you something. What are you going to do when they lower the age of consent to 9 years old or 10 years old. Well, it's legal, so it's okay. You see, this is the problem with what they call moral relativism. When there's no absolute morality, there's no absolute truth, there's no absolute right and wrong, then what happens? We're on a slippery slope to whatever goes. We are really, really, you guys don't even, I don't think you know how bad, where that's led us. I don't think you understand how many people right now are not just satisfied with regular pornography. Now it's, you know, children as low as infants. And I know there's children in here. So I can't say some of the stuff I would say if it was just us adults. And what y'all don't realize is a lot of these bad folks are in your neighborhoods and teachers in your school and daycare workers. I just spent a little time one day reading through the ICE website on bust of people that they had busted, not counting what's going on. We are where we are because most people have taken an idea. Well, it's not that bad. Or, you know what, society accepts it, so this is okay. Then the next thing you know, then something else is okay. Then the next thing you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel. And this right here to me is proof. People don't want to believe the Bible. You know what Jesus said? Let's go to Luke 17. Let me show you something here. Go to Luke chapter 17. Jesus said something very specific would happen right in the last days, right before he would return. Now, remember, before Jesus returns, it's going to get really bad in the earth. You don't think it's bad now, but it's about to really get bad. Over the next, you start watching between now and 2022, you're going to see some dramatic shifts. It's already happening now. Most of you don't even know that America is almost, we're entering into civil war stage right now. Y'all understand that? We're entering a civil war. The Democrat side, the Antifa left side of this thing, they're starting to advocate violence. If you're a Trump supporter, you better look out, because they're putting their finger on you and say, you know, go get this person. If you're just there a conservative or a Republican, you're not a Democrat. You know, if you're against abortion, if you're against homosexual marriage, let's say you can take Trump out of the picture. If you just take a stand against abortion and homosexual, you know, and pedophile nonsense, then you are looked at as a problem, and they are advocating violence towards you. But see, what they want to do, though, is take your gun away from you first so you can't defend yourself, and then so they can send you to fun camps, as they call it. Hillary Clinton called them re-education camps for conservatives. And she was laughing, but that's what communists do. Y'all have, you know what, I hate to say, I mean, really, I think the majority, even in this room, and the majority watching, you have no idea what these people have in store for you. No, unless you're going to join their side. Of course, and then you'll have it okay for a little while until Jesus returns. But it's just the animosity, the anger, the level of violence. It's growing and growing. Just wait. You think this election season's just started. They're losing their minds over 2020. You know why? Most of you don't know that it's been the international banking goal for many years to begin to switch everything over in 2020 to no more cash, because they want to make progress toward their world government and their mark of the beast economic system. And 2020 is a big deal for them. So that's why you're going to see it get more and more vicious out there. But Jesus said this, Luke 17, He says here, we're going to go down to, he said two things, two identifying factors at the end. Let's go down to verse 26. Of course, Jesus called himself the Son of Man sometime. He had many titles, Son of God, Son of Man. But he said this here, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This is what Jesus said. I was like, Pastor Dean, that's a little rough. Well, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. But he said here in the days of Lot. Let's go to Genesis 19 and show you something. The days of Lot. People say Jesus didn't talk about homosexuality. Well, he didn't have to. He referred to Lot and Lot's days as being real and as something that was going to be similar to what would be in the last days. So go to Genesis chapter 19. So Genesis 19. Remember in Genesis 18, God has a little discussion with Abraham that he has seen the wickedness and he has heard the cries of Sodom. Let me tell you what those cries were too. They were children. I don't have time to break that down for you. It wasn't just homosexuality, but it was the pedophilia. It was the child molestation. And let me tell you something. You think I shouldn't talk about this with kids in here, but let me tell you something, kids. If an adult messes with you the wrong way, you better tell somebody and you better get away from them. It's a sad day that we have to talk about that in church, but let me tell you, it's going on more than you know. All right? But here's what he says. He, you know, Abraham and the Lord, chapter 18, they had a little discussion about Abraham was saying, Lord, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And the Lord said, tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. If I find 10 righteous in Sodom, I will not destroy it. So God was saying, you know what, if I'm going to humor you, Abraham. Even though they're terribly wicked, I won't rain down fire and brimstone and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 10 righteous people there. Couldn't find 10. Now remember what Jesus said? Like it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Right now, churches, Christians, that say they're Christians, are starting to say homosexuality is okay. Not a big deal, not a sin, not an abomination. But remember, I'm not just picking on that one thing. Because premarital sex, sex outside of marriage, being married and cheating on your spouse, that's adultery. Under the old covenant, you were to be stoned to death. That's how bad God looked at it, because it would destroy the family, it would destroy the culture. Better be glad we're in the new covenant now and God just has patience. But the day of patience on everything is running out. Because even under the new covenant, God will not tolerate sin and wickedness and rebellion forever. He just won't. That's why there is a day of wrath and judgment coming. We went to Birmingham yesterday because my daughter graduated from UAB, my middle daughter, Bethany. And I think were we on the way back? Yeah, we saw, or on the way there, I can't remember. But we saw a church, and I'm probably going to, somebody will research this and find out who it is, but I don't care. Because I don't even remember the name of the church. It just said on the side of their building, right there on 280, I think, God is only good. And I thought, there we go. Another Joel Osteen church. That's just what we need. No, God is good and merciful and loving and forgiving to those who humble themselves, admit they're sinners, and repent of their sin. And he's patient with us because most of us, for some season in our lives, walked in total blindness to the truth of that. I did. And so God is very patient. But there comes a day when he's done, you know, and Paul talked about this in Acts chapter 17. He said, you know, the times of your ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands everyone to repent. You know what? One of the most dangerous things that you can ever happen to you is you to sit in a church with a pastor who tells you the truth, because then you're accountable. Not that you're not accountable before, because everyone's going to be accountable, but you're more accountable now because you've heard it. You are without excuse now. You will be held accountable for the truth of God's word that you hear. And there is a day of judgment. I mean, the Bible, that's one of the things it teaches more than anything else. We will stand before the Creator, God Almighty, the God of the Bible. We will stand before Him and give an account for everything we've done in this body, done or said. And let me tell you something. The Bible makes a clear difference between the person who might stumble and struggle with something and get up, repent, and move on to the person who lives in a sin. It's a lifestyle. It's a habitual practice. Let me tell you something. If you lie all the time, you're a liar. Do you hear me? And liars, the Bible says, Revelation 21, liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Oh, but Pastor Dean, wait a minute now. Lying's not bad. That's your standard. God has a standard. If you steal, cheat, you're a thief. If you cheat on your spouse, you are an adulterer or an adulteress. If you live in sexual immorality before marriage, you are a fornicator and you will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you have sex with the same sex, you are a homosexual, and that is an abomination to God, and you will not inherit the kingdom of God unless you admit it's a sin, ask God's forgiveness, and quit doing it. And the only way that sin can be washed away is you've got to repent and ask Jesus to wash you in his shed blood that he shed on the cross and believe in his resurrection, because only by asking him and believing in what he did can those sins be washed away. But that is not a ticket to keep living in it and doing what you want to do. It's not a license to sin. Anybody out there has got the idea that the love of God and the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, if anybody thinks that's a license to do what and live however you want, you've been deceived by Satan. You've been deceived by these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And some of those seducing spirits and doctrines of devils work through pastors and churches. Because if they tell you sin's okay, no big deal, you better run from that place. Because they're not trying to help you. They're really not trying to help you. People say sometimes, Pastor Dean, boy, you preach strong. Yeah, you know why? Because I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you understand that God is serious. Yes, he loves you. But the question is, will you love him enough to turn from your sin and follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It doesn't mean as a Christian you won't ever fall down. But let me tell you something. A Christian sins sometimes, but a Christian will not continue to live in any of these sins habitually as a lifestyle. You can't say, oh, well, Pastor Dean, you know what? The Bible says, you know, Pastor Dean, well, I'm good. I don't cheat on my husband. I don't cheat on my wife, but I get drunk every weekend. The Bible says a drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5 is very clear. The habitual practicing drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, I don't care. My church says we can drink. Well, your church is wrong, and you better start reading what the Bible says and not what the church tells you. You better read it for yourself. Don't even take my word. You better read the whole book for yourself. Probably several times it'd be good. Because let me tell you, the people that actually read their Bible and study their Bible start going, Pastor Dean's telling the truth. He's telling them the truth that your local megachurch will not tell you, because really what they're interested in is you being in there in a seat in their church and making sure you give your tithes there. I don't care about that. I care whether you end up in heaven or hell. I want you to go to heaven. So I don't care if you give in the offering plate. I don't care if you come to church every Sunday. None of those things are going to save you. You can be baptized 500 times. You can have 10,000 choir robes in your closet. You can know all the hymns and all the spiritual songs and still go to hell if you will not repent of sin. If you will not admit what sin is and repent and call on Jesus to wash you and cleanse you, and you become a disciple. Remember, Jesus said it's not enough just to say, hey, you know what, Lord, forgive me, but I'm still going to go my own way. No, what did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me daily. That is what he said. Luke 13. It's all with Jesus. You can't be halfway. You can't be lukewarm. He says, I'm going to spit, or really, the King James made it nice. I'm going to spit the lukewarm Christian out of my mouth. No, he said, the word in the Greek, in the original Greek, is vomit. Basically, he was saying, if you're halfway, you want to play both sides of the fence, you are lukewarm, and the lukewarm will be vomited out. Can I just tell you, most of the American church is lukewarm at best. Because they've been more focused on wanting numbers, big churches, and big money, and big building programs than they've been worried about telling you the truth. See, I don't care if you get mad at me this morning and cuss me out, cuss me all the way to your car and all the way back to your house. I don't care. But I hope that the arrow of the Lord that I fired into your heart, that you won't ever be able to pull it out until you get right with God, because he's the only one that can take it out. We got too many beat around the bush. I said it this morning. Y'all know what kind of preachers I'm talking about. They shop in the children's department. They wear pants and jackets that they look like they're for little kids. I don't even know how to get in them. They look like Pee Wee Herman. And they stand up there and they talk about stuff and just to try to make you happy. I'm going to try to make you feel better this morning. No, I'm going to try to scare the hell out of you. Because until you hate sin like God hates it, you don't understand what's going on. Did I even get to what I was in Genesis? No, I didn't even. I'm sorry. That was a little parenthetical statement for you. I'm just going to jump over. Of course, we know the homosexuals come out to Lot's house because they want to rape the angels that came. It's pretty bad, right? Pretty bad situation. But homosexuality was rampant in Sodom and Gomorrah, the five cities of the plain. They just focus in on Sodom and Gomorrah because they were the biggest of the two. And there was great wickedness going on in here. And, of course, the homosexuals gathered together that evening to come to Lot's house to rape the angels. And what was interesting is what most people forget. And let's go, hold on, let me go down. And oh yeah, here we go. Let's just drop down to verse 7. So he tells them, Lot tells them, he'll put it up for you, Genesis 19:7. So Lot comes out and tries to reason with this lust-filled, demon-filled mob of homosexuals. He says, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And I'm not going to read the rest of what he said. Let's go to verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to sojourn or live among us, and he will needs be a judge. Oh, there it is. Thousands of years ago. Don't judge. Yeah, we want to rape the two men that came to visit you, but don't judge. Don't judge. Now the pedophiles are saying it. Don't judge me. You Christians aren't supposed to judge. That's the most misused passage in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. That one verse, that's verse 1, taken out of context. Because the rest of it says, first get the beam out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to help your brother get the speck that's out of his eye. So it doesn't mean we're not supposed to judge. It means we're not supposed to be living in sin and then tell somebody else to get out of it. You get what I'm saying? If I'm living in adultery, I got no business judging someone who's in adultery. But if I get out of adultery through faith in Jesus and repentance of my sin, I can go to somebody that's in adultery and say, hey, here's what God's word says about this. You need to quit this. You need to get out of this. So that's what judging's talking about. But immediately, see, that's what the world and most Christians, oh, don't judge. I had a megachurch pastor from South Carolina. I think he's moved to California now. Mega 20,000 people in his church. Tell me that I shouldn't use Matthew 7 to tell me that I shouldn't be judging NASA. I lie not. It's going in the book. With his name and the emails he sent me. Don't judge. Doesn't matter how much they lie to you. Don't call them liars. Look, let me just say this. Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not sitting here looking at you like I'm perfect or Mr. Righteous or anything like that. I lived in my teenage years, I lived a very, very, very sinful lifestyle. But I can tell you that I repented when I was 19. Now, am I going to say I never fell again? No, because I did. I had some struggles along the way. But I never went back and lived that lifestyle again. You see, that's the big difference. And I don't want to live that lifestyle. If you find yourself still wanting to live the lifestyle, you better deal with what's in your heart, what's going on. Because let me tell you, I used to love to drink and get drunk. But you know what? I don't want that anymore. I used to really be addicted. You might as well say in my late teens, you probably could say I was addicted to alcohol because I was drinking 4 or 5 times a week. I'm talking about getting drunk 4 or 5 times a week. I drank so much in a 3-week period. One time when I was like 17 or 18 that I had to go to the emergency room for alcohol poisoning. That's a lot of alcohol in your system. When you have alcohol poisoning, your throat starts shutting up. That's a lot of drinking. But I can tell you this, I never want to return to that. I lived in a lot of sexual sin too, and I can tell you right now, I never want to return to that life. See, that's how you know. Let me tell you something. You know your heart is changed and you've truly come to Jesus and you've truly come to faith in him, true faith. You won't want that stuff anymore. It doesn't mean you won't be tempted. The flesh wants to sin. You will be tempted, but you won't want to do it. But if that's what you love and that's what you practice and that's the lifestyle you want to live, then you are that you practice. Like I said, if you lie all the time, you're a liar. It's simple. It's not complicated. All right? I just wanted to point that. He said, Don't judge. I mean, they were saying it in Sodom and Gomorrah. Right before God pulled Lot and his family out and rained fire and brimstone on them. And the book of Jude says, that they are now, even to this day, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The fire that rained on Sodom and Gomorrah was just the beginning of the fire that they were going to have to live with. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I don't want part of any God that's harsh. Let me tell you something. You better be glad that God has a clear limit to what he will tolerate. You want to know why the world is in the state that it's in right now? It's because he hasn't judged it. He's let mankind choose its own way. And look at the mess we're in. Look at the evil that we're in. People say, why does God allow evil? But then they get mad if he stops it. How dare he destroy wicked, evil people? Let me tell you something. You're breathing his air. The life that is in you. You know, I saw a video. There's a new video where they show the moment. They can show now. It's amazing. The moment that the egg is fertilized. The moment life is conceived. There's an explosion of light that happens. You know why? Because that's the moment, the life of God, that very first life where he breathed in Adam and Eve and made them living soul. The moment we are conceived in the womb, there's an explosion of light. And what did he say? I am the light of the world. Everything you are, everything you have, the only reason you're alive, the only reason you're still breathing is because God gave you life. He's given you breath. He's kept you alive. How many of you should be dead by now? I know me and Sal can say we should be dead. Jordan, I know I should be. My wife, the mercy of God. So can I say this? He loves us. He loves us, but he will always, in that process of loving us, bring us to a point to do what we need to do to be where we need to be with him. And then that's when you choose. And let me tell you, when you're brought to that point and you say no to him, your life will get worse. See, when I was 16 years old, I didn't come back to the Lord till I was 19. But when I was 16, at the height of my insanity that I was living, drinking and driving and fighting in bars. I had fake ID when I was 15, and I was already 6 foot tall and 175 pounds, so I could get away with the fake ID and walk into a bar, and I'd be in bars with grown men who stick guns in my face and knives in my face. And you know, when you're full of liquid courage, you don't always back down when they stick the gun. Effects, right? I know I shouldn't be here. But when I was 16, I went to church one time, and man, did the Holy Spirit pull on me. He tried to get me to repent, and I knew inside, I knew what I was doing was wrong. The sexual sin, the drinking, the drugs, the party lifestyle, I knew it was wrong. And I mean, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit pulled on me so hard, and I resisted. I knew it was him, and I said, no. Why did I say no? Because I wanted to go back. I really didn't love him. I loved the world. I loved the things that were in the world. And let me tell you, from the time I was 16 to the 19, to those next 3 years, got worse. Much worse. I wrestled guns out of people's hands. I had a guy try to stab me in the back with a knife. I managed to take that away from him. I just think about it. I was standing one time in a big party, band playing, couldn't hear anything. Guy messed with my friend. I told him, said, look, just leave us alone. I wasn't trying to start anything. just move on. He was drunk and he was belligerent. Well, I didn't know he snuck around and behind me, and he came up behind me, and the band was loud, so I would have never heard him or seen him. And he was opening a big buck knife to stab me in the back. He was standing right behind me. He was opening it up when I turned around. And you know what? Just something said to me, turn around. And I turned around and saw it. Now, I took the knife away from him and knocked him unconscious, but that's another story. But had I not turned around, I would have had a knife in my back about this long. So I know. And I know that the only reason God had mercy on me is because I had a great-grandmother and two great aunts that were praying God that God would have mercy on me and praying for my protection and praying that I would open my eyes and turn to Jesus before it was too late. Those women prayed for me day after day after day. So this is real, folks. Departing from the faith. Put that verse up back up for me if you would. Many are departing from the faith now. But at the same time, I'm going to send y'all another picture real quick. 1 Timothy 4:1. It's about to get crazier, folks. Let's see here if I can find it. No joke, I got 12,000 pictures in here. Screenshots. There we go. Coming your way. You there, Paul? Isn't this cool that we can send stuff? But what I want to say is this, while he puts that up. He's ready. Even though we're in a time period now where many are departing from the faith in Jesus Christ. And listen, departing from the faith means that you don't live the faith. There's a lot of people say, I believe, I have faith. I have the Christian faith. But if you live in sin, you live in homosexuality, fornication, adultery, drunkenness, you're not living in the faith. You're living for the world. All right? You're living in sin. And if you have, you've departed from the faith. But I believe, Pastor Dean, so I have faith. No, faith without works is dead, being alone. How you live matters. Do you walk with him? Do you love him? That's what it's about. Jesus said, if you love me, what? You will obey me. The Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what he's saying there? For those who, you, and let me just say this, you can't depart from something you don't have. There's a lot of people who are Christians. In fact, I pulled up some articles beforehand. One guy wrote a book called something like Christian No More. I mean, there are actually some Christians departing from the faith and becoming atheists. I'm like, wow. You know, you can talk about it. You can read the scripture, but when you see it happening, also, this is a sign. And I'm just going to say this because I'm not going to preach long today. But this is a sign, 2 Thessalonians said, that what would happen right before the Antichrist appears. He said that there would be a great falling away, or people would depart from the faith. They would leave the truth of God's word and they would leave him. We are seeing this happen. But at the same time, God promised that in the end, he would do two things. He said, this is Isaiah 60. He said, darkness is going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow. But he said, guess what? There's going to be a revival too. While many depart from the faith, there's going to be a whole lot of new people that come into it. I'm getting these kind of testimonies. In fact, the book I'm writing on biblical cosmology and creation, The Truth, about it, about creation, not what NASA's told you, I have one whole chapter. It's entitled Atheism from Atheism to Jesus. It is one testimony after another, many of which were sent to me directly, like this one yesterday. This was a comment on my ministry page, Do You Know Ministries page. And this is from Thomas. I don't know how exactly you say that. I wish Andrew was here because he's a German fella. I don't know. Is that Sean or Scon or I don't know. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. Andrew will get a good laugh out of it. But he said, this ministry is filled with the Holy Spirit. Here you get the whole truth. This pastor led me with his teaching of biblical cosmology from atheism to our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. People pray for this ministry, the pastor and the church. But I have a whole chapter that's going to be about 15 pages long of just one testimony after another, strictly from atheists who are now Christians. There is a revival happening under the nose and the blind eyes of the lukewarm church. They don't even see it. They don't even know it's happening. But there's a revival happening. So which side are you going to be on? Are you going to be on the side that's part of the revival? Are you going to be on the side that's departing from the faith? And it's not just the truth about creation that's come out now. It's not just that truth. But it's the truth about where we're headed. It's the truth of end-time Bible prophecy. It's all the truths coming out now that's revealing. Listen, when atheists start saying, I've seen the proof and the evidence that the Bible is the Word of God, I have seen the Bible prophecies that are being fulfilled, I have seen the truth of creation, I have seen the evidence now that I need to see. One atheist over in the UK that he and I talk regularly now, a former atheist, I should say, you know what got him? When he looked into, he was studying in depth genetics, and he was studying in depth DNA. And he began to see how DNA is woven like a fabric. And then he came across the scripture in Psalm 139, written 3,000 years ago, where God talked about how he created us and wove us like fabric in the womb. He said he could not believe when he looked up the original Hebrew words in that verse, that how it described the way DNA works, the way DNA strands are threads woven together. And so you know what? He started reading his Bible. Atheist. This guy worked for the European Union. Can't believe he's still breathing air from the stuff he's putting on social media after working for those bunch of Satanists. You work for the government, and then you turn to Jesus. You know, if you breathe air for any amount of time, it's the grace and mercy of God. It's the power of God protecting you. But this is happening. It's happening. So what you got to ask, and I'm saying this to everybody watching and listening, to those of you here, you got to ask. Because, see, the thing, whether you want to or not, there's a lot of people still have this rebellious heart. Whether you want it to happen or not, it's going to happen. They will form a world government in the days ahead. They will form a cashless money system, and you will not be able to participate in buying or selling unless you submit to their beast antichrist system and you take the chip in your hand or your forehead. You will not be able to do anything. And you basically what Satan's going to do, and God's going to allow him to do it, he's going to force you to choose sides. You will choose a side. Whether you want to or not, you will be forced to choose Jesus or Satan. You say, no, I'm not making a choice. I'm going to ride the fence, Pastor Dean. You're not going to ride it very long. Have fun. Ride's going to be over soon. The fence riding is over. You will get on one side or the other. So I'm telling you, do it now. Because God does love you. And he's not looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you to love him enough to try, to follow him the very best you can. Because he really does want to be with you. He really does want to have a relationship with you. But like I've said many times over the years, if you want a relationship with Jesus, you have to break up with the devil and give him back his stuff. You don't keep his ring. You don't keep his jacket. Break up with the devil. Give him back his stuff. Move on. Right? That's Christianity. And then, once you get to know the Lord, let me tell you something. I don't understand people that want to leave him, that have known the Lord and end up departing from the faith. I don't get that. You know why? Because I wouldn't for anything. I don't care if they kill me. You understand? Don't care. In fact, things are only going to get better for me if they do. First of all, I'm going to be instantly with Jesus. And second of all, I'm going to be riding back with him. And they're going to be, oh, I remember that guy. I told you, be with Jesus or the Antichrist. I'm going to be with Jesus. You know, like I've said many times, Led Zeppelin had it right. There's song Stairway to Heaven. There are two paths you can go by. What they said. They told the truth about that. Two paths you can go by, and then they said in the long run, it's still time to change the road you're on. That part backwards says, here's to my sweet Satan, but I digress. But they were telling you the truth. They said the piper is calling you to join him. Well, the piper they're talking about there is Satan, the one who has the built-in music pipes when he was first an angel. See, Satan is the first one who departed from his relationship with God. Lucifer, his real name was Hallel. You say, Pastor, how do you know this Bible? Just look it up. Where it's translated Lucifer, that's a Latin transliteration. The Hebrew word is Hallel. Right? You had three angels, archangels. Hallel was worship. That's why Satan had the built-in pipes for worship. Because Hallel is hallelujah, means praise. That was his job. You have Michael, the archangel, who's the angel of war. And you have Gabriel, who is the messenger. And remember, it says that Satan took, when he fell, one-third of the angels. Why? Because he was over one-third of the angels. He was in charge of them. He had influence. But he's the one who departed. He made a choice. The others chose. Michael and Gabriel and the rest of the two-thirds of the angels decided to stay with God. Smart move. Because in the very end, when Jesus returns, Satan will be taken and the fallen angels with him and all those who serve Satan and follow Satan and take the mark of the beast and all of that. He said they're all going to be put in the lake of fire. That's how it ends. You want to know, isn't it good that God's given us the end of the movie that we're living in? We're not watching. It's not a drama. It's not a show. We're living in it. And he's told you how it ends. But it's still up to you to decide how it's going to end for you. Right? Let's stand this morning. Let's do that song, Come to the Altar, before we go. You don't think you can find that one? Look, normally I preach to about 12:30, so y'all are lucky today. Our visitors are lucky. It's only 12:05. That's unheard of. I just hope, look, what we're going to do is we're going to do this song. We may do it once or twice. I think it's only about 5 minutes long, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you've never truly given your life to Jesus and you want to do that and you want me to pray with you, I'm willing to do that today before we leave. Just come up here during these songs and we'll pray with you. But those of you out there that can't come to our altar call time, it's not hard. It's not hard to bow your head where you are, ask Jesus to forgive you, to come into your heart, to wash your sins away with the full determination that you're repenting and you're going to start a new life and a new walk with God through Jesus. So it's not. Let's put the words up.
Are you hurting, broken, dead? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Thank you.
Choose to do today, Lord, to follow you through all the trials and temptations and attacks. And no matter what the culture does and where the world, the evil it will go to, Lord, and we know it's going to some dark, dark days, we choose Jesus today. And we thank you, Lord, that you died on that cross and rose from the dead so that we can overcome all of Satan's works and power and plans. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Y'all know the rule here. Hug some necks before you leave.
I'll be more the Lord.
to the silence of my heart. Speak to the silence of my heart. Speak to the silence of my heart. And I will wait. I will wait for you. I will wait.